Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
So, number 1, the Washington Post did a really good bit of reporting. For all of their liberal excesses, they're still one of the great newspapers in our land. And they did a review of bidding documents and contracts for over 300 Chinese government software projects since the beginning of 2020. They did a detailed study of what sort of software is China trying to buy and what are they doing with it. And this, I just found this really interesting. We'll get more troubling as we go, but, they have ordered all sorts of software designed to collect data on foreign targets from Twitter, Facebook, and other Western social media. They're primarily interested in their domestic internet users and media, but they've also tried to learn absolutely every single thing they can about every single person online on Earth. The documents, publicly accessible, also show the agencies, including state media, propaganda departments, police, military, cyber regulators, are purchasing newer, more sophisticated systems to gather data.
I don't want to minimize this at all, but I don't completely understand. So I remember that story that came out last year about how China has a file on every man, woman, and child in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all this information that you're just talking about, what are they going to do with it? Or do they have the manpower to turn that into anything? Or do you just wait in case you need it for somebody?
I think it's mostly that last one, but I guarantee you that there are contingency plans or purposes that exist for that data, and they're just waiting to use them.
Well, yeah, I'm not that imaginative, and they are. So, but it is amazingly troubling. I'm sure that's never happened in the history of the world. It wouldn't have been possible where your enemy, the country is an enemy of your country, has a dossier on every human being in your country.
They absolutely do on journalists, academics, military leaders, soldiers, sailors, marines, and political figures, which I think is really interesting. Now, a lot of what they're doing is to oppress the Uyghurs, for instance, but I suppose it's the Western-looking stuff that's most interesting to us. Oh, and the other thing is they also are very, very active on social media putting out information. We talked about that a little bit last week. Secondly, China is expanding a network of more than 95 port facilities around the world and is working to establish a system of overseas military bases that analysts say will support Xi Jinping's announced ambition for global dominance. The port network is part of the Belt and Road Initiative. We've talked about this for a long time. A multi-trillion dollar infrastructure and development program that Beijing has been pushing for nearly a decade, trying to cement their status as an economic superpower and win support in the developing world for China's brand of communism, partly by hooking these poor, smaller countries on the dope of Chinese money to build roads and ports and the rest of it. And by the way, you can have this at 2% interest, all this money. No worries. We're your Chinese friends. But then when the port doesn't generate nearly the income China said it would, then all of a sudden you've got the loan shark saying, you know what? I'm not going to bust your legs. I'm not going to break your knees if you just go along with this little plan. They're mobsters.
Plus, they're installing all the infrastructure. Like, so it's all their computer programming and automation and everything like that, which they can shut down whenever they decide they want to.
Right, right. And I kind of want to go big on this tomorrow and talk about it in more detail, but there's something else that's kind of stuck in my craw. And I don't want to come off as that, like, knee-jerk anti-expert feeling that's become kind of common these days. I mean, because I'm not that exactly. But in continuing to read Michael Pillsbury's excellent The 100-Year Marathon about China, having been intent on world domination now for decades and decades and utterly duping the naive Soviet-obsessed United States into giving them everything they want to become the world superpower in the name of, again, resisting the Soviets or whatever. One thing that really strikes me about that book, because Pillsbury, and we've talked about this before, he was a big-time advocate, maybe the big-time advocate for China is liberalizing. If we're just their buddy, they'll become an ally and a friend. Their economy will open up. They'll reform politically. This is good stuff. Let's help China. They're going to become a buddy. Well, now he's realized after several decades, and he says this in the book, I was completely wrong. I was the opposite of right. This is terrible. God help us all. Okay?
Don't trust China.
So that's the tone of the book, and Jack's read it too. What really struck me as I was reading it last night is the number of people who were trying to tell him that, trying to tell presidents that, just trying to say, wait a minute, here's what they're really doing. But the experts, all the PhDs, were already in the let's build bridges to China camp, or they were in the China hawk camp. And once they choose their positions, they spend their entire day, their entire career, trying to prove that they're right. And they no longer take in data and information with an open mind and an open heart and try to figure out, like every single day, try to refigure out, okay, what's really happening? No, once they establish which side they're on, they spend all their time, energy, and grant money trying to prove that that position is right, no matter what the evidence is. And it reminds me of that study. I was trying to remember, Jack, was that a book we read? Or I can't remember. The point of it was, if you get a group of reasonably intelligent, curious, non-experts together, laymen, to study a problem, they will come up with more accurate conclusions in general than experts will because they don't cling to their preconceptions.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I remember talking about that. And doesn't surprise me, really.
I mean, that's practically the main theme of the book once it dawns on you. What do you mean you ignored when a Chinese dissident came to you and spelled out precisely what was going on? Well, these people have spent their career trying to convince Nixon, then Ford, then Carter, then Reagan, then George H.W. Bush that XYZ was true. And if some Chinese dissident comes and says, excuse me, that's not true, you got too much at stake. You can't listen to them.
It reminds me of the Orwell quote that I try to think about a lot for my own personal life.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. The hardest thing for anybody to do is to see what is right before one's nose. And that just seems to be a human thing. We have...
It's a microphone, by the way. Look at it.
We
right
have
before my nose.
We have ideas about the world. We have ideas about our relationships. We have ideas about the economy. We have ideas about our kids. We have all these ideas we've come up with. And it's very difficult to recognize information that doesn't fit with that and process it for some reason.
It's hard. It's extremely hard to admit you've been wrong.
Our brains aren't set up for that for some reason. It's got to be an anthropological survival thing. Maybe we'd spend too much time doubting ourselves if we didn't just pick an idea and go with it. Maybe you'd just sit around wondering, oh, on the other hand, the next thing you know, you're run over by the tribe next door.
Well, right. Let me finish that thought. It's extremely difficult to admit you're wrong. It's even more difficult to admit you're wrong about something important, and it's extremely difficult to admit you've been wrong about something important for a very long time and have fought against those who are right. It takes either a towering example of courage and character, and I don't know if Pillsbury is or not, or it takes somebody who has been so completely convinced they were dead wrong that they don't feel like they have any choice. But that's why I think the book is so valuable. Well, it's valuable on a lot of levels, like we've been talking about. China is bent every single day on world domination. Just remember that.
I always think about that quote from FBI Director Ray. China
damned
has a
if
whole...
you do. No, different quote. I'm sorry.
China is asshole.
That's not quote. Either. China is a-hole.
Armstrong and Getty. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
True international average of pressure.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
But when I go to my doctor's office, Jack, I'll present them with a please don't weigh me card. First, a quick word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security, offering 50% off their award-winning security system. 50% off. Did you know? You probably did know this because you're up on the news. Package thefts, robberies, burglaries skyrocket during the holidays because scumbags want to steal your presents.
Saw a story in the news last night of an Amazon driver who would drop off the packages and then steal the packages he dropped off. You don't know that unless you had a camera set up or something like that. And that's part of what you can get, the 24/7 professional monitoring that you get with Simply Safe. All kinds of sensors and cameras and HD security cameras, by the way, inside and out. Just smarter ways to detect motion that'll only alert you when a threat is real. Good stuff.
And with their 24/7 professional monitoring services that cost under a buck a day, that's less than half of the price of like ADT's traditional system, they can tell the cops it's a real break-in. We're certain of it. And you get higher priority response. So go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Get 50% off any new system. Biggest discount of the year, 50% off. Simplysafe.com/Armstrong. There's no safe like Simply Safe. For many people, he says, switching to the text of the article. Where's this from?
And using his compassionate voice. And using your compassionate voice.
For many people, regardless of size, stepping on the scale at the doctor's office can be a triggering, harmful experience.
This is already moronic.
Please don't weigh me cards may offer a solution.
What? Ah, I can't take it. I can't let you get through this. I can't take it.
number one, we need to ban the word trigger.
The number one health problem we have in America. I was going to say outside of COVID, but actually it fits in with COVID since vastly more people are dying who are obese. It's a terrible thing for COVID.
Absolutely.
The number one health problem we have in America is obesity. When you're at the doctor, where health and you butt up against each other, you want to eliminate weight from the conversation. Okay, well, that makes no sense.
Oh, Jack, you don't understand what a triggering, harmful experience it can be.
It's like taking my car to Jiffy Lube. One thing I do not want to talk about is oil changes. We're not going to discuss that.
That's going to hinder things, sir. The cards, which are gaining a ton of online attention, were created by morelove.org, an online resource created to help parents raise, quote, kids who are free from body hate, disordered eating, and eating disorders. Disordered eating and eating disorders and redundancy.
raise kids free from redundancy and who don't repeat things unnecessarily.
And redundancy-free kids.
They're a subtle way to send a strong message to medical staff, and I quote, please don't weigh me unless it's really medically necessary. If you really need my weight, please tell me why,
yes,
so that I can give you my informed consent.
You really need it, and for obvious reasons. For obvious reasons.
Being weighed, particularly in front of someone else, is rarely a pleasant experience, thanks to a culture of relentless weight stigma and unrealistic body expectations. Boy, we have become a nation of veal calves. We absolutely have.
We don't have unrealistic body expectations. We have unrealistic body, I don't know what the right word would be. Acceptance, I think. We have an unrealistic body acceptance. We're accepting being way overweight, including myself in this.
Of ourselves.
Yeah.
I have no, your weight is not my business unless, you know, we get into socialized medicine and I'm paying for everything that goes wrong with you. Or me. Hell, I'm overweight. I ought to lose 30 pounds. I never will, but I should. It's a fundamental aspect of health, I mean, obviously. And here's a hint for you. I know this because I'm the guy who makes jokes when they weigh me at the doctor's office. I'll say, I shouldn't have worn my 20-pound pants today. That sort of thing.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'll use that one next time. Of course, if she's under 30, she'll look at me like, okay, old man, you're scaring me.
Are you coming on to me or are you crazy? Or both? No. So here's the hint. Nobody gives a flying F at the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah.
Among the check you in and ask you what you're there for crowd, what you weigh.
Have you ever looked into the dead eyes of the woman with the clipboard? She's not that interested in what you weigh.
Well, and she's no gazelle herself, all right? Generally speaking, the number of really hefty people working in medicine is, well, it shouldn't be shocking because everybody's chunky in America.
Yeah, the number of hefty people doing freaking everything.
Right, exactly. On the other hand, Jack, because we live in a fatophobic society.
Do we?
No, we don't.
We don't. We're the opposite.
Would you stop interrupting me, please? You're triggering me. Because we live in a fatophobic society, being weighed and talking about weight causes feelings of stress and shame. Many people feel anxiety about seeing the doctor and will avoid going to the doctor in order to avoid the scale.
Yeah, well, I've known people who did that because they don't want to have the doctor tell them, look, you got to lose some weight. That's your number one thing, and right, you don't want to hear it. It's like, right, I one of the reasons I'm not going to the dentist, because I've been so long that I don't really want the dentist to tell me all the problems I got and how I need to go to the dentist more often. So I've been putting it off. I know it's stupid, but I know people do that with their weight also.
Everybody, call your mom. She misses you, your dad, and make an appointment at the dentist. It's just good for your health. Anyway, you know what we need to do, and this can be done very gently. You know, sometimes I'm slightly less than gentle with my words. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But whether it's Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation begging Scott Gottlieb, when will my toddler be able to get a vaccine? I mean, she's obviously so worried. She's obsessed with her kid not getting COVID-19. We need to get better at this country in pointing out, look, you seem like a nice person, but that's an irrational fear. There's no scientific basis for that fear. You need to think carefully. You need to do some research. You need to get over it. You're not serving yourself by running from a non-existent demon. Somebody's got to say to somebody who's triggered by getting weighed at the doctor's office, look, all they care about is if you've gained or lost a lot of weight. Nobody there cares that you're a little overweight, okay? Nobody does. Half of them are. And it's a good thing to keep track of your weight, okay? And to act like you're being judged or hated or whatever is just, it's irrational. And anybody doing that's an a-hole anyway. Now, they say there's anti-fat bias in medicine, leads providers to misdiagnose patients in larger bodies and misattribute symptoms to size instead of true underlying conditions. If that's true, that's an interesting sure medical, conundrum that they need to solve. But
doesn't really have anything to do with refusing to be weighed at the doctor's office.
Yeah, yeah.
What an interesting society.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. I got my
pants on. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So I found this so interesting. Megan Cassidy wrote this piece for the San Francisco Chronicle. She's a crime reporter and was there at the Hall of Justice and got her car stolen. And happened to have a tracker in it, one of those little tracking chips that's kind of popular. And her partner actually, we would have called it her boyfriend back in the day. My son and his partner introduced themselves as, "This is my partner."
Really? So people don't say boyfriend and girlfriend anymore?
No, I think partly because you're not a fiancé per se, but you're together. You're definitely together. And girlfriend is too,
So a partner is considered a step more serious than boyfriend or girlfriend?
Yeah. Because a girlfriend could be about anything. But if you say, "This is my partner," it's, "We're staying together unless something happens."
Okay.
I guess.
I didn't know that.
We're seriously partnered.
Look at me not up on the lingo of the day.
Yeah. Shocking. Anyway, her partner texts her from home saying, "Hey, your car alarm went off and it's moving." And she's like, "Don't!" Because she was sitting there taking notes in court.
Don't!
Please tell me you're in the car, because if not, your car got stolen. What's going on? I hope you're okay. And then she gets in touch with them. And so they could view the location of the car, which they'd outfitted with an Apple AirTag, actually in a car seat that was in there in case their child got abducted. Now, departure from the text there, do you really need an AirTag in your car's child seat in case it's abducted? I suppose it'd be nice to happen, but I think you're a little paranoid. But anyway, so standing in my now vacant parking spot, I called 911. I told the police dispatcher that Miguel was tracking everything from Oakland. Can someone please help me? The technology's been around for years. Police say it's spread, particularly Apple's introduction of the AirTag. There are other products like the Tile Tracker, Galaxy Smart Tag, has prompted a boom in calls to the cops for help, like hers, she said.
I'll bet.
So let's see. Let's get back to the actual story. Oh, then she departs from her own story and tells a bunch of different stories about people who've had similar things happen to their truck, their luggage, their bike, whatever. The response by police has been thwarted by legal constraints. For example, an officer generally can't enter a home just because the Find My iPhone says your cell phone is inside, or your bike is inside, or your luggage that just got stolen from the turnstile at the airport is inside. The cops, if they respond, will knock and say, hey, do you have a suitcase full of stuff that's not yours? The person says, you got a warrant, they got to leave.
Wow. Yeah, I never thought about it, but that seems pretty clearly, obviously true. You can't just have, you know, I would imagine these chips or whatever you want to call them vary in the apps involved vary in quality. And they're all non-governmental.
That doesn't enter into it at all. The cops need a warrant to come in your home.
No, I get that. But okay. I get that, but I can see why in all practicality it just, you know, you can't have a gazillion different kinds of ways to figure out that guy's got some of my stuff in there. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. That doesn't rise to the level of a legal thing. Like, I've got evidence and I've got a warrant and I get to go get it.
Well, I think you're combining several things. The technology is good enough. Yeah, you'd know your stuff is in the house. You would know. But the cops have to take the time to go to a judge and get the warrant and the rest of it, and they're just not going
bike. Sure they're not.
Right.
But so what are your options then? So you know exactly where your bike is. You hire a big guy to go knock on the door and say, I'm going to take this MFing bike.
Well, that's the next thing I was about to get into, is the cops, the dispatchers will tell you over and over again, just don't take the law into your own hands. Don't go get your stuff. Don't confront anybody. And you're thinking, well, they got my stuff. I want my stuff back. But it's the whole, let the criminals do what they're going to do because we don't want anybody to get hurt. In other words, the law isn't going to help you or can't help you. But for God's sake, don't take the law into your own hands. She tells the story, this journalist, of one guy whose bike got stolen. He tracked it to a tent. He went in and got the bike out of the tent and then wrecked the tent with a ball bat because he was not putting up with that S.
Right.
Yeah. They're not in favor of that sort of thing. But it is a very, very frustrating situation is the big takeaway, to know precisely where your stuff was. And I should point out
that makes me think it's practically worthless. Unless I'm going to go confront somebody extrajudicially over my bike, what am I going to do?
Oh, right. Well, I would. I would certainly scout out the situation. I'd probably bring a friend or two with me. And if there's nobody around who's armed and the bike's sitting there, I would grab the bike, throw it in the back of a truck and go.
Well, I got my bike stolen, so I've thought about this many times. I didn't have a chip on it, but I keep looking for it on the streets of my town.
Get a chip.
I want my bike back.
You got to chip that bastard. Anyway, a couple of things. Number one, when it's a car, the cops will show up for Grand Theft Auto. But in this one case, this guy's truck got stolen. The cops showed up, lights and everything, and the guy took off in the truck. And since that's a low-level offense, they're not going to chase him.
Well,
unless he voluntarily stops.
My guess with my bike would be, if I saw my bike on the street of my town, I had a really nice bike that got stolen summer before last from the swimming pool. I would assume that if I saw somebody riding my bike, their honest answer would be, I bought it from a guy for a couple hundred dollars. I don't know. I mean, because they're probably not the original thief.
Well, they'd be moaning that from the ground after I knocked them off the bike and took it back.
But so what happens then? I can't imagine. Look, I bought this bike used off of Craigslist.
Oh, boy, I feel bad about jacking you in the head with this ball bat. May I apologize? I would like to apologize.
You shouldn't have bought a stolen bike. Sorry about your head.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, what he said. So they did point out, though, that in each and every one of these cases, the actual beat cops were exceedingly sympathetic and professional and the rest of it. But several people said, several of the victims described what they characterized as a defeatist culture in the ranks of law enforcement, with officers blaming prosecutors, policy, state laws, or time constraints. I'd love to be able to help you. I sympathize, but I can't. And if I do, nobody will prosecute this person. Nobody will jail them. Nobody will do anything about it. So I'm not going to chase them down.
Okay, I can understand why, yeah, maybe if there's not a prosecution, you wouldn't want to do that. But for me, I'd like a person to be prosecuted for stealing my bike, but I'd really just like my bike back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one guy, I thought he made a pretty good point. He got his truck stolen, and he said, the thing that is problematic is this cannot lead to vigilantism, right? But eventually it will.
Of course.
One entity needs to have a monopoly on the use of force, they say. But if they don't use it responsibly, people are going to take action.
Of course they will.
You know what's funny is occasionally I need to remind myself and maybe remind you folks, having to explain if somebody takes your stuff, it's okay to stop them or get it back. That's like unique in human history. If people in the past, 20 years ago, 50, 100, 500, 2,000 years ago, were to listen to this podcast, they'd say, what are you talking about?
Right.
Somebody takes my horse, I'm going to probably kill him, maybe just beat him down and take my horse back. Oh, don't take the law in your own hands. I mean, most of human history,
oh, sure,
humans everywhere would say, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, because if you allow people to start taking your stuff and then they get to keep it, it completely falls apart. The whole thing falls apart very, very quickly.
Oh, no, no, no. Here in modern society, we even have entrusted the authorities with the job of dealing with that. Really? What do the authorities do when someone takes your stuff? Nothing. They don't do anything.
Well, right. Of course it's going to lead to, you know, the situation could vary quite a bit. Just, you know, back to my bike thing. It could be a college kid who I'd say to quite sternly, you better give me my freaking bike back, or I'm going to figure out a way to get it back. Or it could be in the hands of the Russian mob, in which case I probably don't want to confront them if it's some right. sort of large theft operation. So, yeah, it depends on what's going on.
Yeah. I love this. Here's a guy got his car stolen. They track it down with the tracker. He calls the cops. They show up. They open a door to find people living inside. Officers politely asked the occupants to leave, but didn't even question them. They said, we don't know who stole the car. Just because they're living in it doesn't mean they stole it. So they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, that's so clearly obvious. The police can't just go into a house and look for your bike based on your app says your bike's in there.
Yeah.
Wow. And we don't want a world where they can.
Well, that's why you wait till fall of night. You bust a window, you climb in yourself, dressed all in black, clearly. A flashlight in your mouth, and
sure.
whatever little enhancement you think you ought to be carrying with you.
Oh, wow. That's
I'm not suggesting it. I'm just imagining it.
It just doesn't seem like it fits my lifestyle at my current age to be crawling through the window dressed in black with a flashlight in my mouth and something heavy in my pocket to fight a bunch of people.
Just get stuck halfway in. Oh, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a window. Help!
Help. Oh, God. Ah, that sucks, though. That's disappointing.
Yeah, it does.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
But resist, we must.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I have mostly traveled over the last dozen years with kids, and when they're really young, it's really hard. And if you've ever done it, you know. And I thought at the time, if I'm ever traveling again in my life without children, I'm going to consider it a vacation, no matter what happens, because I don't care. I used to smugly feel like I was such a relaxed traveler. Other people seemed so uptight. Yeah, it's because I had no freaking responsibilities. If you're traveling by yourself and you got nowhere you got to be and no kids with you, it's really easy to roll with the punches. But man, when you got kids with you, holy crap. And you're carrying like 4 bags full of stuff and trying to feed them and get them to the bathroom and everything like that. Oh my God, it's a nightmare. So right. I wasn't complaining that much as I was, you know, childless and all that sort of stuff on a plane. But I was at Burbank Airport. Got on the plane for a 50-minute flight to go back home on Sunday morning and ended up sitting on the plane for over 5 hours on the tarmac in 110-degree heat outside. And while they had the air conditioning, you know how it works. If the plane's not rolling, they barely work. And it was so damn hot in there. 5 hours didn't go anywhere. And I don't know what the real reason was, because I don't expect these people are being honest with me. But originally it was thunderstorms, okay. Then it was some sort of mechanical problem, all right. Then it was a different mechanical problem. Then it was, hey, we're just waiting on the paperwork. As soon as we get the paperwork, we'll be on our way. And then they'd come back 20 minutes. Bad news, everybody. We have another light that's come on. And just, it was the constantly changing stories. I've heard from people inside the airlines. If you can confirm or deny this, I would love to know it. It's Goodhart's law at work. Once a measure becomes a goal, it ceases to be a good measure. Well, years ago, they decided to measure the airlines and reward them or punish them based on departure times, delays, that sort of thing. So what did the airlines do? If they got one plane they can't get off the ground, rather than all the planes all day long be 3 minutes late so that you can get that plane back in line, you let that plane sit out there all freaking day long and ruin the day or week or lives of 200 people to have all
these.
Yeah, you
get the honor of being the sacrificial lambs. But congratulations.
All the other flights are then on time so that they can check their box of 99% of our flights were on time. We just had one flight that never actually left.
And those people are all dead.
As opposed to, you could have 100% of your planes were 3 minutes late, but they all went somewhere. And, you know, I think that's what happens, from what I've read. I think that's what was going on here. They just couldn't jam us back in the line, but oh my God, people were unhappy. It was so freaking hot on that plane toward the end of it. And a fair number of kids, there were probably 6 kids on the plane, and those poor parents, I felt so bad for them, ranging from tiny baby to like 5 years old and trying to keep them entertained. And no, I don't remember any beverages. At one point, they brought out cups of water during the 5 hours.
Wow. Did anybody get like crazy militant or anything?
As Joe texted yesterday when I was texting about this, that we're not allowed to treat prisoners like this. It's against the law.
Yeah, yeah.
At one point, one of the stewardesses, and I think she did this on her own, was taking ice from their ice thing and putting handfuls in little plastic trash bags and taking them around and handing them out to people so they could put them on their necks or their faces or whatever. Because everybody was just pouring sweat in there and getting angrier and angrier as the time went on. And they do it, because I've been through this a couple of times now. It's always, if they told you at the beginning, you're going to sit here for 5 hours and not go anywhere, there would be a revolt. But they do it a little bit at a time. Just 15 more minutes and then blah, 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 blah. It's bad news, but to 20 more minutes and we'll be on our way and blah, blah, blah. And you just little by little, and the next thing you know, the day is over and you're just going back home.
Yeah, the paperwork's here, but we've misplaced the wings. We're not sure where the wings are for the plane, so we're going to track those down. Should be about another 15 minutes, and we'll be on the way.
Hey, we forgot where we're going, so we're going to check in with the tower and see where it is we're all headed, folks. And
pilot got tired of waiting. He left, but you need to sit there, and we'll see if we can get another crew on. Should be about another 15 minutes.
It was a packed flight, not a single empty seat, and so effing hot in there. I mean, it was just we were baking in this tube, and I thought, how long can they do this without it becoming some sort of international incident where the UN is meeting and the Security Council and that sort of thing for the abuse of humans?
At what point does it become kidnapping? False imprisonment? Seriously. I mean, if they kept you there for, say, a month, would that be false imprisonment? Well, yeah, clearly that would be, Joe. Okay, all right. How about 5 days? How about 15 hours? We need to figure out at what point, little delay, folks, becomes kidnapping.
Oh, my God. And my phone, which I've got an older phone and the battery isn't that good, I ran out of phone power, so I no longer had anything to read or entertainment or texting or anything like that. I'm completely out of power on my phone. And I'm sitting there just getting hotter and hotter. I'm in a middle seat. Just fantastic.
Entertain yourself by watching the sweat drip down the neck of the fat guy in front of you.
And for whatever reason, he means well. The pilot seemed like a really nice guy. Not his fault. I don't think any of it had anything to do with any choice he made. But just the whole, we appreciate your patience. Stop saying that. I'm not being patient. I'm doing the only thing I can do. Appreciate your patience on this. That rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what else he could say, but it's just, this sucks. This sucks out loud. And what I don't understand about the way we put up with flying in the modern world is I gave you a bunch of money. In this case, $500. I gave you $500 for an agreement that you're going to do X for me. You haven't done X, so you violated our agreement. You need to do something to make that up. But nothing. There's not even any more. You don't even get a free Coca-Cola out of the deal. You get nothing, nothing, nothing.
Well, thanks for taking my money, asshole.
Hey, thanks for your patience.
You get a thanks for your patience, but that's it. It's just, you know, so then they finally say, the flight's canceled. Sorry about that. You know, things happen. So everybody just gets off the plane and then goes off to their lives of, like, I guess, getting hotel rooms or deciding to drive where they're going or missing the funeral or the wedding or the wherever you're going, because everybody's got their own individual story. So it's so crazy that we put up with this.
And they could have canceled it after 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Giving people options.
And when they finally announced... bad news, everybody. After sitting there for 5 hours and everybody's got sweat in their eyes and everything. Hey, bad news, everybody. It looks like we're going to cancel the flight, so we're going to head on back to the gate. And people kind of groaned a little bit. And I sat there for a second and then I went, boo! Boo! I started bellowing boos. I don't know why. I couldn't restrain myself. People looked at me like they thought that I was going to end up being zip tied to a seat soon.
Nobody joined you? Nobody vocalized with you?
No. That's one of the problems I've got is I feel like we've just accepted that they can abuse us to any level. They don't even owe us a free drink and we just put up with it. Who's with me? Let's storm the cockpit and, I don't know, yell at them or something.
Armstrong and Getty.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.